should being in Christ affect how you live each day? And it's a very good question. The book of Colossians that we've been studying is all about being complete in Christ. What it means to be in Christ. Well, Paul's letter to the Colossians stressed that Jesus is all that one needs. In other words, he's all sufficient for all of our needs. In particular, the text today emphasizes that this sufficiency should affect every area of a Christian's life. Our text, we'll read the whole thing first, is in Colossians chapter 3, and we're down to verse 18, and we're going to read through chapter 4, verse 1, because that kind of forms, if you will, a paragraph in this letter. So beginning in Colossians 3, verse 18, Paul writes, "Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in sincerity as of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he's done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." With these categories, Paul pretty well addresses about every type of relationship, every type of state a person might find themselves in. The first two verses, of course, stresses spouses. Husbands and wives, and how, by being in Christ, how that should affect how you live each day. The first thing he says is, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord." The word "submit" there in the original language, in the Greek language, means to subordinate yourself, to arrange yourselves under, to subject yourself to another, or to yield to one another. And so the whole idea, of course, of submission is like we would pretty much think about it today. And he says they are to do this. This, in other words, is a command. It's not an option. It is an obligation that is put upon any and all wives. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, another one of his prison epistles, he writes some similar language there in Ephesians chapter 5. He says this, beginning in verse 22. Ephesians 5, verse 22. "Wives, submit your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So there, Paul includes the phrase, "in everything." He says, here's the example. You know that the church is subject to Christ, so in a similar way, wives are to submit or be subject to their own husbands in everything. So again, it is not an optional matter. This is a duty. This is an obligation that is placed upon wives. Paul said in Colossians, this is fitting in the Lord. In other words, this is what is due. This is one's duty. So submission in this case, Paul says, is part of the Christian's life. I mean, it is part of the obligation, is the part of the duty. Why is this so important? Well, when Peter wrote in 1 Peter, he writes that this may be a way in which the believing wife can convert the unbelieving husband. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and see how Peter phrases that. 1 Peter 3, and we'll begin reading in the very first verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Peter writes, Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. So there Peter says, wives, be submissive. And he's talking about wives that are married to non-Christian husbands. Says, even if some do not obey the word, if some are married to non-believing husbands, then they possibly might be won, might be converted to Christ by the conduct of their wives. When wives are in submission, when they observe your chaste conduct, when they see the respect. So going down to verse 5, for in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Now there is kind of an addition. He says one way a wife adorns herself is by being in submission. In other words, that is an adornment according to Peter. And of course, Peter is writing by inspiration. So this is a possible way that an unbelieving husband can be converted to the gospel, is by the adorning of the wife. And of course, it's in that section where he says, don't let your adornment primarily be outward. Let it be inward. And one of those adornments is submission. Now, the husband has a great responsibility, Paul says, because he says, husbands are to love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Love their wives. This is the sacrificial love. This is a love that will sacrifice whatever is needed. And Paul, again, in Ephesians 5, likens this to Christ's love for the church. So if we go back there one more time to Ephesians 5, and this time we're going to read verse 25. There Paul writes, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now that's sacrificial love. You loving someone enough that you are willing to sacrifice for them. So Christian husbands are told here, that's the extent, that's the kind of love you are to have. Just like Christ loved the church. Still in Ephesians 5, skipping down to verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. The Bible says that when a husband and wife, when they do get married, when a man and woman get married and become husband and wife, they become what? One. So Paul here, when he writes the Ephesians, says, when you love your wife, since you're one, you're loving yourself. And why would you ever not love yourself? That's the point he's making. That would be crazy not to love yourself. So what are you going to do? You're going to nurture and cherish your wife. Nourish and cherish your wife. What does that mean? It means you care for your wife. You show love for your wife. You show tenderness to your wife. No harshness or bitterness, as he says here in Colossians. Do not be bitter toward them. They are worthy of love and honor. Bible says the husbands and wives are heirs together of the grace of life. Together they are heirs of the grace of life. So husbands are to ensure their wives are well protected and well cared for. Showing affection, showing devotion to them. Doing everything they can for them. So by being in Christ, and this is what this whole section is about, being in Christ means that husbands and wives have some great responsibilities. Some great responsibilities toward one another. And it all goes back to how Christ loved the church. Look at how Christ loved the church, and that tells you how husbands and wives are to treat one another. So they have great responsibility. Well, after that, then he turns to parents and children. And again, he's going to give, if you will, examples about or advice about how parents and children are to treat one another. And they, again, both have responsibilities. First thing he says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Obedience is well-pleasing, but it always has been. You go back all the way to the Garden of Eden. Obedience was well-pleasing to the Lord. That principle has never changed. God is still well-pleased with obedience. Jesus set an example of this when he was young. We have very little recorded about Jesus' young life, but we do have this in Luke chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 51. Luke chapter 2, verse 51, and we'll see what it says about Jesus. It says, then he went down with them, talking about his parents, and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. The word subject there, he was obedient to them. So Jesus at a young age was setting an example for how children are to be obedient today. And it's interesting that there is a promise, if you will, involved with children being obedient to their parents. One more time, back to Ephesians, this time Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 1, Paul writes this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In other words, this is the right thing according to God. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. See, there's a promise involved with that. It's one of the Ten Commandments. That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Of course, this is repeating what Exodus chapter 20 says. So this commandment has a promise with it. If children will honor their father and mother, then it will be well with them and you will live long on the earth. See, there's a promise. That's why it says this is the first commandment with promise. Because there's a promise involved. So children are to obey their parents. Honor their father and mother. Now disobedience in the Old Testament during the Mosaical time, disobedience to parents came with serious consequences. It was a very serious matter. Let's go back to Exodus 21 for a moment and we'll see just how serious it was. Exodus chapter 21, and we're going to read a couple of verses there. Exodus 21, verse 15, says this. Exodus 21, 15. And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That's about as serious a consequence as you're going to find. Shall surely be put to death. And then a couple of verses on down, verse 17. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. So there were serious, serious consequences attached to children disobeying parents. Also, we turn to Deuteronomy 21 and we see something in addition to that. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18, and we go down to verse 21. It says, verse 18, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Again, serious consequences when children disobey parents. Then Paul, back in our text, says that fathers have a great responsibility. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. So fathers are to be firm, certainly, but they have to be fair. See, they have the responsibility to train, discipline, teach their children. Again, going back to Ephesians 6, we see this in verse 4. When Paul tells the fathers about their responsibility in disciplining and teaching their children. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says this, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So there's training involved, discipline involved, teaching involved, all of that. So this is what Paul is telling the Colossian fathers here, is they're not to be domineering, they're not to be thoughtless. So it protects children from unjust, unfair, severe treatment. Discipline is to be administered to correct behavior. That's why it's administered, to correct behavior. It's not a way just to vent anger. It's to correct behavior. A very well-known proverb, back in Proverbs 23, the wise man tells us this, beginning in verse 13. He says, "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." It's the Hebrew word sheol. There is a need at times for discipline. And that's what he says is so important. So, parents, children, both have responsibilities in the family. And then, most of the text that Paul writes to the church at Colossians is about servants and masters. And of course, today, servants would apply to employees of all kinds. And so what does he say? "Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he's done, and there is no partiality." So they're to obey their employers in everything. And of course, the implication is you are not to do anything illegal or unethical, obviously. That's true in all of this. Nothing illegal or unethical. He says, "Obey in all things your masters, but don't do it with eye service." Don't just work, in other words, while the boss is around. So you're to be people of integrity. You're supposed to do your work regardless. He says, don't be people pleasers. Don't be men pleasers. Don't act just to please men or to try and get favor from people. He says, keep remembering that you're working ultimately for the Lord. That's who you're ultimately working for. So employees here are to be sincere in their work. They're not to be hypocritical. They're not to be self-seeking or self-serving. They're supposed to be people of integrity. Employees, then, are to be sincere. They're to fear God. So employees should work with reverence and respect for God. In other words, as he says, whatever you do, do it heartily, with all your heart, as to the Lord and not to men. Again, remembering that you're ultimately working for the Lord. Put your whole heart into it. Our reward, the Bible says, will come from Him. Again, going back to Ephesians one more time. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says this, beginning in verse 5. Says, "Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. We will be repaid based upon our work and our service. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10 that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things done in the body, whether good or bad. He's reminding them of that here. Our ultimate reward will come from Christ. So when you work, remember you're working for Him. So work heartily. Work with honesty. Work with integrity. Then he says, "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." So regardless of whether you're an employee or an employer, everybody is working for the Lord. Everybody. Masters, employers, managers, supervisors, they're to be just, the Bible says, rendering to those under them their due. Give them what they're due. They have earned it. They're to be fair. Do what is right. Do what is equitable. Showing no partiality, he says. Ephesians would go on and say, you know, no threats or abuses. Treat them right. Treat them like you want to be treated. In other words, practice the golden rule. And that's, of course, true for employees and employers. Treat them like you want to be treated. Even masters have a master in heaven. So if you want him to be just and fair with you, then you have to be fair and just with others. That's what he says. Be fair and just with others if you want that kind of treatment. Few people are left out of those. Husbands, wives, parents, children, servants, masters. Everybody fits into one of those categories. Some of us fit into a whole bunch of them. And being in Christ is to affect every one of those areas of our lives. It's not just something we come and do on Sunday. He's there to meet all of our needs. We're complete in Him. Which means that regardless of our state, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our relationships, being in Christ should affect every area. Every single area. And that's from the time we get up until the time we go to bed, every day, regardless of who we're with, regardless of where we are, it should affect everything we do. Our marriage, our family, our business. Because when we do that, we're showing that Christ is living within us, that we are complete in Christ. Like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that's the best way to show people what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be a Christian, is to show people daily in all of those circumstances that you're in Christ. And being in Christ affects everything you do. The lesson then is yours. If there's a need for anybody to ask for prayers, to come forward for whatever reason, then we want you to do that. Let's stand and sing this song.